Well, good morning and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the world's latest news and health research. And today's going to be a pretty health-oriented show, full of a bunch of health articles for you guys that I think you're going to enjoy. And we're going to talk about how to lower blood pressure, cholesterol, triglycerides, blood sugar levels, how to burn body fat, look pretty good, hopefully, for the rest of your lives, and do all kinds of other interesting things on the show today, including talking about some people who just got beat up at, you know, in New York City again. I'm going to start with this, because last week I had mentioned this guy, and he was a star on Con Air, and they called him Crazy Eyes, which is, you know, I can't say much about that. I'll show you my crazy cat picture again someday, but his name is Steve Buscemi, and he was punched by a maniac in a random New York City attack. He's the guy who was on Con Air, who's got the crazy eyes, who got to drive the Corvette up the tree and all those crazy things on the other movies that he did with Mr. Deeds. And, you know, he was the one who had quoted, I quoted last week, and you guys who had listened to the show, when they asked him, he was playing this insane guy. And he said this is, as far as a definition of insanity on the movie Con Air, insane. What if I told you insane was working 50 hours a week in some office for 50 years, at the end of which they tell you to blankety blank, ending up in some retirement village, hoping to die before suffering the indignity of trying to make it to the toilet on time? Wouldn't you consider that to be insane? This Hollywood's definition of insanity, I guess. And I got a kick out of that because I personally believe that, you know, this time we spend on this planet is very, very short, and that the true reality that we have is when we leave here, when we leave this energy form into another energy form and we go to heaven, because nobody really dies. We just change energy forms. And, you know, our soul moves on. You know, we basically have the ability at that point to be with God for all of our lives. But the sad part about it is a lot of people do spend their entire life in a situation which they don't want to be in. They're working, they're grinding, they're working, they're grinding. They hate their jobs. And my response to you as far as that question, if you really hate what you do and you really don't want to reach out and let God do something else with your life, is how bad does it have to get before you start making those choices as far as I don't want to do this anymore? And I'm not saying that a career is not important. I'm not saying that earning income for your family is not important. And I'm not saying that sometimes you got to do things you don't want to do. I'm not saying any of those things. I'm just saying is look at the long-term perspective of your life. Look at the long-term future of eternity and realize that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, and that this is the day the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. Now, you know, I'm going to quote my good friend John Parvin. He's an attorney, very top attorney, by the way. Really, he and I were college roommates, and I'll never forget, he basically told me years ago, because back, you know, in the 90s, I was talking about the top 10 foods never to eat, how to lower blood pressure, cholesterol, triglycerides, and blood sugar levels, and all the things as far as avoiding certain types of foods. And John has told me repeatedly that, you know, you were, you know, 30, 40 years ahead of your time talking about the same stuff that they're talking about now that's making headline news that increases the risks of heart disease, diabetes, and cancer. And this morning I had another big story pop up from the Daily Mail, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to cover some of this today because I haven't covered this in detail for a while, and I want to just talk about it. This is from the Daily Mail, and it says, the foods that cancer experts want you to stop eating. Now, I want everybody to take some notes on this one because they've actually got some pretty good, you know, information on here. Now, let me just cover my top 10 list real quick for you, and then you can see how it correlates. What we talked about, you know, back in the 90s at seminars, and I was privileged and blessed to be able to speak to about sometimes 45,000 people in attendance in stadiums. You know, what I've learned was this. The number one food we tell people never to eat are the high-fat luncheon meats. I include bacon, sausage, ham, pepperoni, and hot dogs. Don't eat those. They massively increase the risk of cancer. That's number one. I've been telling you that for decades. Number two, aspartame, NutraSweet, you know, Splenda, all those different artificial sweeteners massively increase the risk of cancer. Number three are hydrogenated oils, trans fats. Never eat them. Number four, shellfish products. You should stay away from lobster, shrimp, oyster, prawns, scallops, crabs, clams, all of that stuff because they contain abnormally high levels of toxins in some cases. It can actually lead to paralytic shellfish poisoning. You can die from it. Number five is high fructose corn syrup. You don't put that in your body. Never. Sugar, high fructose corn syrup, it needs to be avoided. Number six are soy products. I'm going to cover a whole thing on soy here in a moment because a lot of you guys keep asking me about soy, and I want to bring it up again. Number seven is chlorine and fluoride in the water supply. These are poisons. The fluoride and chlorine massively increase the risk of cancer. Fluoride is rat poison, for heaven's sakes. It makes, you know, the inmates servile and infertile when you give it to them via water supplies. Number nine, you need to stay away from, or number eight are the high-fat dairy products. Number nine are caffeine products, primarily coffee. Now, green tea is okay. You know, even black tea is okay. The purple stick product that we have, the new one we just came out with, we have a few of these left in inventory. phenomenal product. It's a green tea extract. It doesn't cause you problems with sleep disruption at night. It doesn't elevate cortisol. Great product. But don't be drinking large amounts of coffee because it also massively increases the risks of breast cancer in women. People don't realize that. Years ago, it was Katie Couric was doing a show. I think it was Dateline NBC. This is decades ago. And she actually had these women who had been diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer, several of them. And they brought a Tibetan monk, you know, like a priest, over from Tibet. He said he could cure breast cancer. And he brought about 50 or 60 different herbs with him into the United States to treat these women for breast cancer, the majority of which were stopped at customs, and he was not allowed to bring them into the United States. But he said on the show that if they drink alcohol or drink coffee or eat sugar, they cannot recover from breast cancer. I found that fascinating. And several of the women couldn't stop it. They couldn't stop the alcohol. They couldn't stop the coffee, and they died. And one of the women in particular that I remember, she stopped doing everything he told her not to do, and she recovered from the stage 4 breast cancer. So we're going to talk about that again today, right now, in detail about what happens. Now, what it says here is the foods that are cancer experts want you to stop eating. It says, cancer expert says processed meat and red meat can increase cancer risk. Enjoying eating a bacon sandwich, a few slices of chorizo cake, or maybe even a pint of beer. Well, these are off the menu if you want to cut the risk of cancer, that is. So they're telling you not to eat the high-fat luncheon meat. They're telling you not to eat the sugar, the high fructose corn syrup, and the alcohol. That, according to experts who say chemicals added to meat, as well as alcohol, sugar, and fat consumption, can increase your risk of bowel, breast, and other types of cancer. And while it is impossible to avoid every carcinogen substance that increase your risk of developing cancer, experts claim you can reduce the risk of cancer by cutting certain things from your diet. Here, Mainline Online reveals that food and drink cancer experts and dietitians say we should stop eating. Number one, processed meat. Imagine that. Number two, alcohol. Remember, alcohol increases the risk of breast cancer, osteoporosis, increases the risk of alcoholism, liver cancer. Not a good product. Now, if you had an occasional glass of beer or wine or something like that, not a big deal, but don't be drinking alcohol on a regular basis. It's really bad. It says sugary and fried food and red meat. Now, I'm including red meat. Do they call pork the other white meat? I don't care. I classify it like that. As far as red meat, like eating lamb or beef, I don't think it's a bit of problems if you have enough fiber in your diet and you're not eating this stuff three or four times a day. I really don't. Here's where we go. Processed meat. Feed your classic fry-ups and basically junk food and say no. Sausages, bacon, salami, ham, hot dogs are all examples of processed meats and one of the foods known to increase cancer risk. Processed meat is any animal flesh that has been treated to increase its shelf life or taste better. This is often done by adding chemicals such as nitrites. The meat could be also processed through curing, smoking, and or salting. When eaten, nitrites undergo a chemical reaction that forms what's called the nitrosamine, which are one of the most effective agents known to man for producing malignant intestinal tumors. Let me stop you for 1 second. About 4 or 5 months ago, I had a friend of mine, good friend, basically brought his brother-in-law over, and he had been diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic liver cancer. And, it was sad. I mean, the guy had lost a bunch of weight. He was a former police officer, and he was, didn't know what to do because they had told him he was 97% terminal. They wanted to start chemotherapy. They just wanted to start radiation on him. They wanted to do surgery on him. And he was giving me all of the alternatives. And I asked him, I said, well, what was your primary diet? And he says, well, I love hot dogs. And I'm like, what do you mean you love hot dogs? Well, I eat hot dogs and sausage meats and that kind of stuff all the time. And I said to him, I said, don't you know that the sodium nitrite in luncheon meats can increase the risks of pancreatic cancer by up to 60 times? Of course, he didn't know. I saw this in the clinic all of the time. I saw so many people come in who basically had healthy lives and they were eating junk food all the time and they end up with pancreatic cancer or liver cancer. A lot of it can also be caused with pancreatic cancer from alcohol consumption. I remember years ago, Austin had a friend of his. That time, Austin was working construction. This is 15, 18 years ago. And I remember his friend ended up coming down with pancreatic cancer. And he had his own still. He made his own moonshine. And he drank moonshine like every single day. Now, this guy was a hard worker. He worked in the sun. He was in great shape. He had like the black belt in 4 different types of martial arts. He could sit on a chair and do a full split, between 2 chairs. This guy's a phenomenal physician. He's in his 30s. He was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. He was dead within 2 weeks. And you see this all the time, especially now with the COVID vaccines. you're seeing these turbo cancers that affect people, and they're dead within a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks. You know, I had a friend of mine a few years ago that I had met, and you know, after Sharon had died, and I remember she had had the COVID vaccine, and she had already had cancer, had recovered from the cancer, and but had taken like three or four of the shots as far as from the COVID standpoint, and those shots contained an immune suppressant. And I knew that the probability was extremely high that she was going to die of cancer. And it was sad because she ended up dying about last month. I was in Europe, and what her son texted me and said that she had died, and they're having a memorial service for her. They wanted me to attend in a month or so, and I told them that I would be there. The sad part about it is that I talked to her about what she could do to increase her immune system and reduce the risks of cancer, and she was completely unwilling to make any changes from a dietary standpoint or try any type of natural protocol to increase her immune system. Zero. I repeatedly asked her, what are your D3 levels? And she kept saying, I don't know. And I kept saying, can you please ask your doctors to run your D3? She said, yes, she would, but she never gave me one D3 level. Now, dietitians and nutritionists who are even opposed to using supplements are now coming out and saying that if they do take vitamin D3 because it's so critically important for the immune system. Because without the immune system being activated with vitamin D3, the macrophage is a little, I guess, sort of like a little, you know, tiny little microscopic, you know, white blood cells that are like little, you know, submarines in your bloodstream. And they have, you know, they attack cancer cells and they attack viruses. And underneath these little submarines are two little sugar molecules that have to be turned on and switched on so they can be effective as far as, you know, becoming active to kill cancer and viral cells. And the switch that turns these on, like a fail-safe switch, is D3. And if these submarines can't flip the D3 switches on these macrophages, they can't fight and kill cancer cells. Now, here's what I've learned over the years. If you basically have a situation in which you have cancer cells that are in your body or viral cells that are in your body, and you can't produce vitamin D3, these cells will send up a chemical messenger called a cytokine. It's like a flare gun, you know, for by lack of a better term. And they start putting cytokines in the blood to call other macrophages or little submarines over to kill the cancer cells or the viral cells. The problem is, if you don't have D3, these macrophages cannot be activated, and you end up with what's called a cytokine storm. And it can fill the lungs with fluid. And that fluid accumulation in the lungs can cause pneumonia, and you can drown. This is what happened with the swine flu epidemic back during World War I, in which up to 50 million people died from the flu globally. They didn't have enough D3, and they're eating. And these GIs that were being sent over to fight in World War I, they were being given pork rations and all the other types of garbage they were putting in these cans, which were massively reducing their immune systems. Now, I'm not a fan of pork. Now, if you're a pork producer, you raise pig or whatever, that's on you. I'm not going to make an issue out of that for you. That's something you got to decide on what you want to do. But I would not be involved in that type of produce or product or production of products like that. But the reality is that pork has been told, God told us repeatedly in the Old Testament, in both the book of Deuteronomy and Leviticus, to stay away from pork. These are scavenger feeders, and I simply don't eat them. And that ties right together with a high-fat luncheon meat, which ties anything together in that category with me if it's been put, if you've had nitrites put into it. So avoid that. But let's go ahead and keep going on this little article here. It says, Dr. Dwayne Miller, a British Dietetic Association spokesperson, explained while this classification was warranted, he also told that it was important to put risk in perspective as far as what you're doing, as far as the different types of meats you're eating. And then it goes on to alcohol, saying last orders to booze can cut your chances of developing 7 types of cancer. Wow. Okay. No matter your choice of poison, drinking any form of beer, wine, spirit increases your risk of mouth, upper throat, larynx, esophagus, breast, liver, and bowel cancer. Any amount of alcohol, he said, increases the risk. Matthew Lambert, nutritionist and health information and promotion manager at World Cancer Research Fund, told this website going teetotally had a massive benefit to reducing cancer risk. In other words, if you cut alcohol out altogether. When it comes to alcohol, there are no health benefits to drinking, he said. I'm going to repeat that. When it comes to alcohol, there are no health benefits to drinking. We have strong scientific evidence that all types of alcoholic drinks are a cause of at least 6 types of cancer, including breast and bowel. He added, as even small amounts of alcohol can increase cancer risk, we recommend not drinking any alcohol. For some cancer types particularly, alcohol is particularly harmful if you also smoke. Alcohol would absorb into the body, damages cells to stop them from repairing damage overall. It can also affect the chemical signals that which make cells more likely to divide, and as a result increases the initial chances of cancer appearing. In fact, statistical analysis published in BMC Public Health in 2019 suggests that drinking a bottle of wine a week, listen to this, is the equivalent of smoking up 10 cigarettes in the same period in terms of cancer risk. Dr. Mellor said there's suggestions from the UK Department of Health that there is no safe intake of alcohol, so in theory, it is best not to drink alcohol at all. However, for many people that enjoy a drink, so far, the reason recommended limits are suggested at 14 units per week. This is ridiculously over amount, ridiculously amount. Now, I'm going to say this to you. It's important. And I've said this before. I'm going to say it again the same way. You know, if you're drinking alcohol, you know, and it's increasing your risk of pancreatic, liver cancer, cirrhosis of liver, alcoholism, osteoporosis, breast cancer, and these other cancers that are listed here, why would you do that, number one? That's number one. Number two, are there any benefits? Have you ever heard anybody say, my life was a wreck, and then I started drinking, and everything got better, and everything worked out okay? I can honestly say to you, I know so many people who have ruined their lives because of alcohol. I knew one guy. I knew him from my mom's German beer tavern. He wasn't really an alcoholic, but he was a drunkard. Those were by his own words, by his own admission. What does that mean? He could stop drinking anytime, and I had seen him do that multiple times, not have any alcohol, but he liked to drink, and he liked being drunk. He ended up with like four or five DUIs, and I can honestly say he pretty much ruined his life over the alcohol, and then he ended up dying of cancer and coming down with cancer. He was 69 years old and died of cancer at the age of 70. Now, I liked the guy. He had a great personality, and he's one of those nice drunks. When he started drinking, he got really, really nice, unlike a lot of people who drink who become very mean. I've only seen two categories of drunks, a person who gets nice when they drink and one who gets really mean. He was one of the nice ones. And he was kind of like a mentor for me when I was a kid because he was a chemist. He actually went to the South Florida, it was Florida Southern College over in Lakeland, became a chemist and worked at one of the large phosphate lines here in Central Florida. So he's a college-educated chemist, brilliant man, but he could not stop drinking alcohol because he said by his own admission that he was a drunkard. And it's kind of weird because most of the time drunkards aren't college educated. I hate to say that, but it's true. But I know a lot of people that do drink who did get college educated, and some of them have had to go through alcohol rehab, including AA. I have a good friend of mine. He basically has a real problem with alcohol and also with opiates. And I don't really associate with him anymore for various reasons. But the point is, you know, he has a problem. He's ruined a marriage. Now he's ruined a second marriage. He's ruined his career. All because of the fact he can't control himself, and he's been in multiple rehab programs. So alcohol, to me, is not something I'm going to suggest that you ever drink. But again, if you had a glass of wine or beer every once in a while, it's not a big deal. But don't believe the French paradigm that says that if you drink alcohol, drink red wine, that you decrease your risk of heart disease. It's simply not true. You can do resveratrol, get the same effect from that. But the side effects of the alcohol are so extreme with the pancreatic cancer, liver cancer, cirrhosis of the liver, alcoholism, osteoporosis, it's not worth the risk. And the study itself said, if you read it from the 90s when the study was put out, or not the late 80s, it said if you don't drink, don't start, because the side effects of the alcohol are so bad it's not worth the quote-unquote health benefits. So there really aren't any health benefits, to be honest with you, from alcohol, period. And here's the other thing, too. You know, when I was young, I probably got drunk three or four times in my life before I got saved, and I didn't like the way it made me feel. I didn't like the way it made me feel because what it did is it made me lose control. I wasn't aware of my surroundings as well. I certainly wasn't going to be able to drive. And I learned very quickly that it wasn't a beneficial thing to do. Well, now that we know that it massively increases the risk of all these different types of diseases, why in the world would we continue to do it? Now, let's go ahead and talk about different types of cancers. Let's keep talking about this whole thing here with what it's talking about. It says sugary and fried food. Remember, I already covered this on my top 10 list. Hydrogenated oils and sugar. We now all know that junk food isn't good for us. So it should come to a little surprise that sugary sweets and takeaway treats are on the list of foods that cause cancer, suggest you avoid. Mr. Lambert said, we advise the people to eat less overly processed, high in saturated fat, sugar, and salt food. This includes like cakes, biscuits, pastries, crisps, sugar, sweetened drinks, and fast foods like pizzas and burgers. Now I'm going to say something very, very calmly here as best I possibly can. When I start talking about stuff, it gets me pretty jazzed up. You know, I just got back from Europe, and, you know, you can eat certain foods over there because they don't use all kinds of chemicals like they have in our food supply here. In fact, they don't allow the spraying of glyphosate on wheat crops that are being harvested in Europe for the use for consumer products. In other words, in our country, wheat, 99% of it that is not organic, is sprayed with Roundup by the air, by airplanes, a week before it is basically harvested. Now, this saturates the wheat kernel with glyphosate, which is Roundup, which is a compound that has caused over 20 different types of cancers, and there's lawsuits all over the world about this from Monsanto and Bayer now because of the cancer-causing products that are associated with, you know, with Roundup. So if you're eating food that is high in bread products, basically high in wheat products that have been sprayed with glyphosate, you're ingesting glyphosate, which increases the risk of different types of cancers, period. It also decreases nutrient absorption in the intestinal tract, which is exactly what it does in the soil. When you spray a crop with Roundup, the reason that the crop dies is because it causes that crop to no longer absorb certain nutrients from the soil. It stops the absorption process. Some experts now believe it does the same thing in the human body as far as stopping the absorption of specific nutrients. And what they do, they use it to spray the crops, to dry the crops out a week before harvest. They use it as a desiccant. So they say increases crop yield by several bushels per acre, and it's worth the money to spray the crop with the Roundup to kill the wheat stalk before they try to harvest the wheat kernels, but they don't think about the devastating effect it's going to cause with all types of gluten insensitivity, celiac disease, etc. And I believe a lot of these intestinal problems are directly related now from wheat products because of the fact that they're soaked in Roundup. That's my opinion. Because, you know, when I was a child, we didn't have all these people running around with celiac disease or all these people running around with gluten insensitivity. We didn't have all these people having all these problems with bread products. And in Europe, they don't have that because they don't use those types of compounds on the food supply. Just thought I'd mention that. He goes on to start talking about how cancer rates are increasing with different ages and how bad it is. He says obesity is the second biggest cause of cancer, according to the CRUK. He says the charity says that being too fat causes the level of growth hormones in the body to rise, which then causes cells to divide even more. Each of these additional divisions represents another potential chance for cancer. Now, I'm going to stop here because I think that growth hormone may have something to do with the development of cancer. I'm not going to say that it doesn't because a lot of studies seem to indicate that. But what I will say is this. When a person has a problem with obesity, the vast majority of these people eat junk. And you think, well, that's not true. Yeah, that's true. I'm not saying that they all eat junk, but I'm telling you the vast majority of the people that have a problem with obesity eat junk. I remember one day I was at Walmart, which I absolutely loathe going to, by the way. And I was in the parking lot walking through to go in, and there was this woman sitting in a car. She was the passenger, and she literally had a cake sitting on her chest, and she was shoveling the cake into her mouth with her hands. It wasn't even a fork. She was grabbing the cake and just shoving it in her mouth, and she probably weighed 500 pounds. You think, well, are you making fun of her? No, not at all. I feel sorry for her because people that are that addicted to high fructose corn syrup, that addicted to junk food, that addicted to eating foods that are low in nutrient density have all kinds of health problems, and it's not funny whatsoever. Most of this type of behavior starts from a very young age because, sure enough, it looks like her mother was in the front seat with her, and she was equally as large. Though she wasn't stuffing a cake into her mouth because she was driving. You think, well, are you making fun of this? No, I'm not. It's just a weird situation when you see this. So the vast majority of the people that are obese, that are morbidly obese, they eat a lot of junk. I had a chiropractor friend of mine, brilliant man. He used to go out. He was about 500-600 pounds. I mean, the guy was brilliant. He actually helped me. When I was writing books back in the 90s, I had him look at a few of my books. He made a few editorial comments with him, and he was a great guy. And he was just an amazing person, spoke multiple languages, but he was morbidly obese. And every day he told me he'd go out and get two giant pizzas for lunch along with like a gallon of soda. And he would sit there because he would literally have to consume 10 to 15 to 20,000 calories a day to maintain the body weight. He was morbidly, in fact, it got so bad he started having joint problems. He could no longer work and had to retire in his early 50s because he was incapable of performing chiropractic adjustments anymore because he couldn't support his own weight. You think, is that possible? Is that, I saw it with my own eyes. And the thing about crazy about this was he was one of the best chiropractors I'd ever seen, but he couldn't control his own dietary habits. Because remember, the high fructose corn syrup, it triggers the body to be hungry, and it tells the body it's never full, and it makes you want to eat more and more and more. They know that. That's why they use it. It changes the chemistry and the hormones and the bloodstream, which allow that for you to feel full. Here's what it goes on to say. It said meals should be based on meals should be based on healthy foods. He said you need to be eating a large amount of fruits and vegetables every single day, 30 grams of fiber per day. You know, you can have some dairy alternatives, and it's suggesting that you use soy. And we're going to cover that next. And it says choose unsaturated oils and spreads and consuming them in small amounts. Drink 6 to 8 glasses of water per day. Now, I'm going to stop for 1 second. We're going to talk about water for a second. If I were to ask you what's the single most important thing that you could do for your health if you've never changed your diet whatsoever, you would probably say, well, get exercise, do this. And I'd tell you no. The single most important thing you can do for your health is to drink distilled water. You look at me kind of funny now. And you go, what do you mean distilled water? Water doesn't have any chemicals or compounds. Water that has been boiled, gone through a condensing coil that's made out of stainless steel, put back into a drip pan that basically stainless steel, and you're drinking pure water like rainwater used to be before they started loading it up with, you know, geoengineering toxins like aluminum and barium. What I'm talking about is drinking water that's been pure. Because here's what's going to happen. You're either going to use a filter like a distiller, or you're going to be a filter when you put poisons through your body. Chlorine and fluoride are both unbelievably toxic compounds that need to be avoided. And if you don't have these types of compounds in your diet, you massively increase your health. So the most important thing you do is to drink distilled water every single day. Now, if you feel as though you need some minerals in it, we have some AquaTrace mineral products that you can drip into if you like. We have that at the office. Now, what's interesting about this is this. If you take a person who basically has a really slow metabolism and you have them start drinking more water, it increases the metabolism because it increases the homeostatic function of the bodies and the cells. Your body needs water. Now, here's the thing. They're asking, telling you how many cups per day to drink. It's ounces, fluid ounces per body weight. If you weigh 200 pounds, drink 100 ounces of water a day. That's 10 ounce glasses. That's what you need to drink. Well, that's a lot of water. Not really. Not for a 200-pound person. And that's what I constantly do. That I have a, in fact, I have a Yeti right here. Got ice in it. It's filled with distilled water. In case I decide to, you know, have to sip on something here real quick, if I start choking up a little bit, I'll drink my distilled water. I try to drink multiples of those every single day. You always see me running around with a cup of water in the car, a cup of water. And I use stainless steel because I don't want it. Now, glass is better. It is. Glass is better than stainless steel. But the reality is with the glass, if you're in the car with it, it gets broken. It makes a mess. The stainless steel holds the temperature better as far as these Yetis and as far as the amount of water that you can drink throughout the day. Now, I would not want to let it sit in a Yeti for a month or whatever because it's distilled water is a solvent, but I don't mind drinking it out of a Yeti or out of a glass. A lot of times I'll still just use a glass with ice in it, and I've got one of those ice machines that you pour distilled water into it and it comes out with cubed ice. It's amazing how it works. But avoid drinking water that contains chlorine because it's really hard on the kidneys. It massively increases the risk of kidney and bladder cancer, and don't drink water with fluoride. In Germany, they forbid the use of fluoride in the municipal water supplies because they said they're not going to drug their population. It kind of comes from the concentration camps, doesn't it, from the research that I've read, that they couldn't figure out how to get these inmates to work because they were slave labor camps, and they tried to give them pills to take that were drugs every day. They refused to take the pills, so they put fluoride into the water supply in the concentration camps during World War II to make the inmates servile and infertile. And that's what they learned when they went into Dachau in 1945. In the following year, they started putting fluoride into the water supply in the United States. You think, well, did they really do that? You could do your own research on that. But I know that there's a huge controversy back in the 40s about putting fluoride into the water supply. What was interesting about it, Stanley Kubrick did a book. You know, it was Dr. Strangelove did a book, did a movie. And it was an interesting movie because we started, one of the generals or the colonels in that movie started World War III over the use of fluoride being put into the water supply. And Stanley Kubrick was an insider. He's also the one that a lot of people say did the filming of the fake Apollo moon landings. Now you think, well, do you think the Apollo moon landings were fake? Here's the thing. You know, we had a space race going on with Kennedy, and he wanted to land the person on the moon before the end of the decade. Kennedy was assassinated, and the unbelievable career criminal Richard Nixon took over. Not Richard, well, Richard, he was another career criminal too, but Lyndon B. Johnson took over. And what ended up happening is they had this race going on and on and on to get to the moon. Well, the technology wasn't there to do that for various reasons. I'm not going to get into the whole thing about the moon right now, but the thing about it is that I personally believe that was staged. Now, do we have the ability to do interstellar travel? Do we have the ability to use, you know, wormholes? Do we have the ability to have spacecraft that are basically anti-gravity technology? A lot of people say yes. But the reality is that I have a friend of mine who worked at the Cape. His name was Lee, and he's one of their top electrical engineers. He personally told me he was there, and they shifted telemetry south so that we couldn't track things in our orbit, whatever you want to call the orbit to be, and that we did not go to the moon. Told me that. Came on record with me and told me that. Told me I could use his name. So I believe Lee. He was there. Now, was I there in 1969 in July when the spaceship went up, when the Apollo went up? Yes, I was at the Banana River near Cape Canaveral, and I watched the ship go up. And that rocket, that Saturn V rocket, was an incredible feat of engineering by Wernher von Braun. I got to admit that. And we heard it going up. We saw it going up. And we all believed it. We all believed this whole staged event. Then you start going into more research with it, and you start to realize something wasn't right with that whole deal. But that's not what I'm talking about today. I'm talking about health today. I just happen to get off on that topic. Now, let's talk about soy. Now, here's an article from Daily Mail today. This is disinformation. This is disinformation. So I want to cover this with you so you'll know what it says. Here's the article. It says, are soy boys real? Experts weigh in on the viral TikTok claim that says dairy-free drink makes men feminine. Many believe that eating soy will give men female features like boobs. They say boobs, they're saying boobs. But this idea is totally false and based on bad science, nutritionists say. Total lie. It is based on scientific fact and research. On some corners of the internet, you'll find a swarm of muscular men claiming that eating soy would give them boobs, hot flashes, and harm their sperm count. The idea that consuming soy could lead to feminization of men is so pervasive that the phrase soy boy was created to mock men who lack stereotypical masculine features. However, there is no evidence of these claims. Yes, there is. And I'm not going to read you the rest of this article because this article basically goes into detail and saying how, you know, these people that are drinking these types of products aren't having any problems with being hyperfeminized. That's a lie. They are being hyperfeminized. I remember years ago, I was at a health seminar. It was a health food show. It was at a conference. I was there with Sharon. And I remember they were promoting Vitamix, which is one of the best blenders you can buy. And the guy was making this really good protein shake. He's using organic fruit, organic this, organic that, organic this. And finally, he comes in and puts like 4 scoops of soy protein into the shake. And I said, I'm out. I'm done. And the guy looked at me and goes, what for? Soy is good for you. I said, no, contraire. It's not good for you. And so I told him that it can actually lead to gynecomastia, which is the boob development in men. And he said, well, I've seen articles on that, but I don't know if that's true. I said, that is true. Then right beside me was a guy. And guys, I don't make anything up. And he was sitting there with a tight white T-shirt on, and he had like C-cup breasts. No joke. This happened. I saw it. And he looked at me, and Sharon was standing beside me. He goes, you know, I drink soy every day. It doesn't do that. And I just looked at him, and I just smiled and walked off. I thought, wow, he can't even look in the mirror and see what he looks like. So now I'm going to tell you the truth. This is an article that I wrote years ago, and you see it. It's at healthmasterswebsite.com. The soy turned little boys into little girls. The shocking truth. It says this information may totally change your health. You can look up this article. I've posted it again on the newsfeed. This may change your family's health and your family's health through the knowledge contained. Be prepared for an awakening unlike you've never had happen to you. I've done thousands of radio and TV talk shows, and I've spoken to over a million people at live seminars and over the air, and I have, by the grace of God, been able to do all of these things, and in doing so, literally have changed the lives of literally millions of people. Now, here's the interesting thing. I put that in there about something that I've done because I was trying to qualify what I was about to say. It says, genistein is the plant estrogen found in soybeans. It is not identical to estrogen in the human body, but it's close enough to fool the body to thinking it is human estrogen. When soy formula is fed to infants, this genistein, this phytoestrogen, or soy estrogen levels are 20 times higher than it would be in breast milk. However, the estrogen equivalent is much worse than the 20 times. This is because the phytoestrogens are only part of the soy problem. If all soy factors are taken into account, the picture produces worse than a horror show. There are actually 15,000 times more of these estrogen-mimicking compounds in soy formula than is mother's milk or goat's milk formula. Now, what does this mean? Well, here is the reality. A baby who only gets soy formula is getting, now get this, the equivalent of 5 birth control pills per day. Are you listening to me, friends? A baby who gets only soy formula gets the equivalent of 5 birth control pills a day, and this is why I will not sell soy protein in the office. It has been only for the last 40 years, particularly the last 20 years, that soy has ended up on approximately 60% of our food. I know people that are so allergic to soy, they have a histamine reaction if they get exposed to it. Many vegetarians and some religious groups who eat large amounts of soy protein products are very upset with the facts I'm about to tell you. That would be the Seventh-day Adventists. They eat a lot of soy products. I had friends of mine, they were Seventh-day Adventists. They lived on soy products. We have become a nation obsessed with soy everything. Soy drinks, tofu, soy milk, soy protein, soy burgers, soy pet food. Soy can, in many cases, damage the thyroid gland, causing a decrease in energy. Soy can damage the pancreas and cause an increase in diabetes. Soy interferes with calcium absorption. Plus, soy formula uses toxic, oxidizing omega-6 oils, which interfere with infant brain development. Here's some more interesting facts concerning infant development. Babies have to have omega-3 in high concentration for proper brain development, also in the last trimester of the mother's pregnancy. That is why I use goat's milk formula with cod liver oil, as mentioned in Sharon's book, Train Up a Child the Way They Should Eat. An infant girl and an infant boy have different types of brains. Obviously, a little boy has different DNA than a little girl. In the first few months of life, little boys undergo a testosterone surge. This is the hormone surge that allows proper secondary sex characteristics in men. And when you pump this little boy up with the equivalent estrogen of 5 birth control pills, the testosterone surge may not take place properly. It can't, because soy and the estrogen in it are antagonistic to testosterone. This can cause the brain development to become feminized, and he can develop the brain of a little baby girl. Secondly, his reproductive organs, including his testicles, may not develop properly and in many cases are undersized. He therefore may not produce sufficient testosterone to obtain proper secondary male sex characteristics, size, strength, deep voice, facial hair. Plus, this hormonal imbalance can lead to gender confusion. I wrote this article initially 20 years ago before this big trans thing started. This has been widely known in scientific circles for many years, and scientists have simply not wanted to speak about how estrogen supplementation in infants in the general population increases homosexual rates and transgender rates. So many of you are asking, weren't there homosexuals along with gender confusion before the rampant use of soy products? The answer, of course, is yes. There are many factors which contribute from a scientific standpoint to homosexuality and transgender and gender confusion. However, there's been a major increase in these types of conditions in the past 40 years, and all of this cannot be blamed on, you know, one-parent households, Hollywood, the music industries, or genetics, or estrogen and meats. Now, let's talk about little girls with soy. Soy estrogen can cause hyperfeminization in girls. They can develop breasts at the age of 5 or 6. They can go into puberty at age 9 or 10. They also lead to obesity, increased risk of breast cancer. The statistics are even worse in the black community. Black children in many cases have adverse reaction to cow's milk, and a large percentage of black children are put on soy formula. This is probably why black girls have a 50% rate of premature puberty. Even the American Academy of Pediatrics says healthy, full-term infants should only be put on soy formulas only when medically necessary. However, soy formulas are 25% of the U.S. infant formula market. That's nuts. I suggest you use goat's milk formula instead. Plus, soy has not only changed the boy's brain chemistry, so that of a little girl, it causes a huge increase in allergies and other decrease in both sexes. Plus, processing of soy products may cause soy products, byproducts of MSG, monosodium glutamate, which is a neurotoxin, which also can affect basically brain damage. Wow, it just keeps getting worse. Here's some more stuff. Soy does not reduce heart disease. Soy does not help premenopausal symptoms. Soy does not lower breast cancer rates. Soy does not lower cholesterol. Soy does not reduce hot flashes. And here are other possible medical conditions that could be caused by soy. Infertility, lowered sperm count, gynecomastia, heart disease, digestive problems, allergies, immune disorders, insomnia, eczema, obesity in girls and boys, delayed puberty in boys, decrease in genital size, uterine cancer, hypothyroidism, diabetes, IBS, depression, rheumatoid arthritis. This is one of those products that I tell you, if it's in the label, I don't eat it. I stay away from canola oil, I stay away from trans fats, and I stay away from soy products. And that cuts out almost all processed foods. Just the other day when I was in Europe, I remember they were cooking something. I forgot what it was. And I asked them, I need this cooked in olive oil. Well, we use canola oil or we use soy oil. And I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. Not on me, you don't. In Germany, it's funny because they have a lot of farmland there that doesn't raise a lot of different types of crops. And they have these yellow fields of flowers that are all canola oil. They're basically canola flowers, canola plants, which is a rapeseed product, rapeseed plant, you know, that they use canola oil out of Canada from the rapeseed plant, which is highly toxic oil used for paints, shellacs, and lacquers. And they process it and they give it to human beings to eat. This is a toxic mess. Don't use canola oil. Don't use soybean oil. Now, here are a few examples of the other lies I've been told you. Now, you can read this from the article that I wrote. NutraSweet is safe, It is not. It is a poison. Okay? Splenda is safe. It is not. It is a poison. Fluoride toothpaste is safe. It is not. It is a poison. Read the label. Keep out of the reach of children. If ingested, contact the poison control center immediately. That's your toothpaste. If you're using, that's why I always tell you, get your toothpaste from Health Masters. If you don't do anything else from a Health Master standpoint, from a nutritional standpoint, get your toothpaste from us and get off the fluoride. You know, we've got a great product that's called, you know, the Ultimate Multiple Powder. It's a phenomenal product. It's probably the best, if not the best, I think it is the best health nutritional supplement on the market. That's powder. You don't have to swallow a pill. And of course, I've already showed you the Kai Berry product, you know, the Health Purple Sticks. That's a phenomenal product. That's exclusive to Health Masters. And we also have the GHI cleanse. Yesterday, I was in church. A good friend of mine, Larry, came up to me and goes, I don't know what to do. He goes, my gut's really messed up. He goes, I don't feel good. And I said, well, I said, there's a high probability, you know, it's from glyphosate in bread that you're eating. He goes, well, I don't know, man. I need to come by and see you this week. Can you give me a call? I said, sure, I'll be happy to talk to you. Good friend. He's an insurance agent. And the reality is that so many people are suffering from gastrointestinal problems now because of the chemicals and the poisons of the food supply. The body can handle a lot of it. If you keep doing it for year after year and after decade, it starts to really affect the reproductive organs and it starts to affect the digestive organs. Okay, let me go on and keep going with this. Chlorine is safe. It is not as a poison. Hydrogenated oils are safe. They are not. They are poison. Shellfish are safe. They are not. They can be toxic. MSG is safe. It is not. It is a poison that destroys brain cells. Pasteurized homogenated milk is good for you. No, it's not. It's toxic. Don't do it. Red wine is safe. It is not. It can be addictive, but it increases the risk of pancreatic cancer, breast cancer, cirrhosis of the liver, alcoholism, osteoporosis, and alcoholism and osteoporosis. We covered that already. High fructose corn syrup is safe. It is not. It leads to obesity. By the way, New Zealand, England, France, and Israel are in the process of banning soy formula or placing other regulations on its use in infant formula. Just thought I'd mention that to you. And I'm not going to read any more of this article because, you know, it's one of those articles that have been posted for many years on the healthmasters.com website. But the truth is, if you eat these types of foods, you're going to basically find all kinds of health problems later on in life. Here's another article, the Daily Mail today. Doctors reveal terrifying new psychological side effects caused by Ozempic. This is a weight loss drug that basically helps to regulate insulin. And this is one of these conditions that I knew about, but I really haven't covered very much. Blockbuster obesity drugs have transformed how we treat the condition, but doctors are warning us they may cause potentially severe psychiatric effects. I haven't covered this on the show. I kind of want to warn you guys about these types of drugs now. Now, I always tell you guys, if you want to lose weight, the best way to do that is to really limit your high glycemic carbohydrates. You got to stay away from pasta, rice, potatoes, fruit juice, all those types of things that elevate blood sugar very, very quickly. You've got to have the ability to drink more water every single day without the chlorine and the fluoride in it. You've got to eat six small meals a day. If you want to weigh 180 pounds and you're a guy, do 1,800 calories a day, divide it by six, eat six 300-calorie meals. Same thing is true with women. If you want to weigh 120 pounds, eat, you know, that's 1,200 calories a day, eat six 200-calorie meals per day. You know, take our supplements that we have, you know, the berberine, all these different types of things that are available that'll help you to basically regulate insulin, take insulin support. A lot of people are suffering with what's called type 2 diabetes, in which they have a problem with elevated insulin levels in their body, and it's also known as Syndrome X in many cases. And that's what they're treating here with this Ozempic. They're trying to bring insulin levels down because insulin is a storage hormone, but you can't bring insulin down if you're eating high glycemic carbohydrates, which elevate blood sugar because it has to elevate insulin at the same time. That's one of the key things that I always tell you, chicken and vegetables. Chicken, basically low glycemic meat, make sure it's, you know, rotisserie cooked, or you can pan fry it if you'd like, or you can bake it, but don't do deep fat fried anything. In addition to that, stay with your organic vegetables. You can mix a little bit of, you know, a little bit of mayonnaise with it if you like, if you think it's too dry, or you can put some, you know, some mustard in it, which is really, really good. I eat it every day at least once, sometimes twice, sometimes three times if I have nothing else to eat, because it's very, very healthy. It really helps to maintain lean body mass. You say, well, you know, it's boring. Okay? You're right. It is boring. I have no retort on that. But there has to be more to life than eating chicken and vegetables. Well, that's true. You can eat chicken and grilled fish. You can do that too. That's all right. Or you have some beef with it. You can do that too. It's all right. The chicken is just easy. And so you think, well, it doesn't entertain me. Okay. You know, so are you eating the liver you're living to eat? I'm not a foodie. Okay. So I have people send me pictures and plates of food. It doesn't do a lot for me. I don't really care. You know, I was involved in athletics and bodybuilding in college. Never took steroids. Mentioned that to you. And what I learned was this, you know, I don't eat to live. I live to eat, and I try to eat the right kind of healthy foods, and I choose well what I eat. So food to me isn't something that I really want to eat. I was in Europe. A good friend of mine said to me, said, well, you need to get some, you know, Wiener Schnitzel. I'm like, Wiener Schnitzel? That's like beef, but it's, you know, deep fat fried. And this was actually kind of pan fried in olive oil, or that was butter. And I had a piece of it. It was the worst meal I've eaten, I think, in Europe. And they wanted me to eat a piece of this chocolate torte cake. I was in Vienna, and it was awful. I thought myself, this guy's a foodie, and everything he's recommending that I eat tastes terrible, and I have no interest in it. He's always sending me pictures of meals, and I'm like, that's strange to me. But some of you like that, and I'm okay with that. It's a great meal, and I don't mind having a good meal. You know, the other day I had a really good piece of fish. It was like a yellow-tailed snapper, but it was ridiculously overpriced, but it tasted great. And I thought to myself, okay, well, I don't mind eating this. I had a pan fried in olive oil. They normally deep fat fry it in soybean or canola oil. And I told them, absolutely not. You pan cook it for me. And I actually had the chef come to the table, and we ordered it that way, because I realized that I have to eat the food that I tell you guys to eat, because I want to stay healthy too. And I always try to do what I tell folks to do. And so, but it was great food. And then I always asked them, if it's salmon, I always say, is it wild salmon or is it farm raised salmon? And some people say, well, sustainably raised wild. It's not possible. How's that even possible? It doesn't work that way. It's either caught, it's in a big net. The other day I was watching a TV show over in Europe. It was interesting. They were raising these little salmon fingerlets in this big net to turn them loose into the wild to increase the salmon population. And this giant whale came up, and they released these salmons, you know, into the wild. And this whale opened up its mouth and like ate almost all of them. And instantaneously, it was the craziest thing you've ever seen. And so finally they started towing the nets out to sea to release them so the whales wouldn't eat them. So finally the one whale got all mad, and he actually broke through the bottom of the net, was eating them. I had never seen a show like that, and some of you have seen the same show, but it was interesting. But I've kind of stepped away from those because it got real negative. But here's the thing. Blockbuster obesity drugs have severe psychiatric effects. Here they are. Two cases and several other cases of many, many reported cases have linked patients who have become psychotic, basically after taking, you know, Ozempic and Wegovy. The morbidly obese woman had been taking the drug for 3 weeks, and she started suffering delusions that she was dead and attempted to strangle herself. She became suicidally depressed with delusions taking these drugs. Another man was described as highly functional, became manic after 6 weeks on the drug. He began cleaning the house compulsively. He was convinced all of his neighbors were dead. Make is causing psychiatric symptoms in these people. The case reports were raised at a meeting of the American Psychiatric Association. A slew of reports just like these cases have been reported around the world. The doctors who treated the patients have called for patients to be given the new obesity drugs to be monitored once a week if they don't have a history of mental health issues. And now they're saying that these include warnings on their labels about possible suicidal behavior. Why these warnings are about psychological effects. I mean, stop for a second. So you're taking a drug that's supposed to take care of your obesity and help to regulate your insulin levels, but now you want to commit suicide. Wow. I mean, think about that for a second. I mean, as if your life wasn't bad enough with the obesity and the health problems associated with obesity, now you become suicidally depressed. I've got to tell you something, guys. Every time I see this stuff like FenFen or these Ozempic products come out, I always ask myself a question. How in the world do people do this stuff to themselves and not suffer severe psychological and physiological side effects from it long-term-wise? And now we're starting to see these side effects come out. You know, God made food, made it very good for us. He made really healthy food that reproduced itself. You could plant the seeds and do all the things you needed to do to have a healthy life and a healthy diet. And suddenly we start processing the foods because we want to ship it, you know, 1,000 or 2,000 miles, or we want to pick it when it's still not properly ripened, and we want to put it into a freezer containing, you know, liquid nitrogen or powder, you know, or gaseous nitrogen in order to prevent it from, you know, spoiling. And all of a sudden we start realizing that we start processing the food, and we start taking a lot of the nutrients out of it, and how bad that is. Here's another article. the 21 ultra-processed foods that you need to avoid and the ones that are actually healthy, according to a 30-year study. A study found that certain ultra-processed foods raise the risk of death. I mean, duh, we already knew that. And this is a landmark study published this week found there are seven categories that are considered the most detrimental for your health. And the sad part about it is a lot of these I've talked about so many times on the show. And again, like I mentioned at the beginning of the show, a lot of this stuff is now coming out from what I had talked about years and years and years ago. Certain additives like calcium propionate to keep the foods from spoiling but increase insulin resistance and diabetes risk, which makes you gain body fat. Sweetened with high fructose corn syrup have been linked to obesity, diabetes, and liver disease. Contains cornstarch, which has been shown to increase blood sugar. High in saturated fats and refined grains, which are not filling, can lead to overeating and are loaded with glyphosate after they've been sprayed by the air before they were harvested, as I mentioned earlier. Coloring comes from dyes like yellow 5 and yellow 6, which have been linked to hyperactivity in children. I told you guys about this over 30 years ago. Filled with nitrites, which have been shown to cause certain types of cancers like breast and prostate cancer and liver cancer, pancreatic cancer, and colorectal cancer, which I mentioned earlier. Held together with emulsifiers, which research suggests could cause contamination and inflammation and irritation in the bowels. And so now they're warning you about all of this stuff and why you need to stay away from it. The reason, so says the study, that these seven food groups have multiple more stages of processing, which adds more synthetic ingredients that have little nutritional benefit and cause harmful effects in the body. They also contain more artificial ingredients like colors and dyes, which have been linked to conditions like hyperactivity and cancer. Daily Mail has picked several of the most popular foods from these categories to create a startling graphic warning of the most high-risk foods. The latest study was on 100,000 Americans, and it lasted for over 30 years. Here's the crazy part. You know, you're in Europe, and you're traveling around, and you see a tour group of obese people. They're all speaking English. 99.99% of them are Americans, and they're all obese. And the Europeans laugh at them. They laugh. The other day, I was, you know, at Heidelberg a couple weeks ago, and there was this black lady, real nice lady, and she was sitting on the steps, very overweight. And I asked her, I said, are you okay? Why do you ask? I said, because you're sitting there and you're out of breath, and I don't want you to have a stroke or a heart attack or whatever, et cetera. I can't remember exact words I used. And I'll make sure you're okay. And so the reality is you can always tell when the Americans are there because they look like that the vast majority of time. The team found that people ate the most servings of ultra-processed foods, Americans again, about seven per day, were 4% more likely to die from any cause than those who stuck to three servings a day. Additionally, there were 9% more people likely to die from neurodegenerative disease. Now, listen to this, like dementia and Parkinson's or ALS or Huntington's disease. In particular, the biggest culprits were processed meats. Like, here we go. The same thing I told you about 30 years ago, high-fat luncheon meats, like deli meat and jerky. Dairy-based desserts like ice cream and convenient breakfast foods like pre-cooked sausage and Pop-Tarts. Wow. The research has also warned against chips, condiments, snake cacks, and eating some breads. Popular chips like Cheetos, Doritos, and Ruffles, for example, get their bright orange coloring from dyes like yellow 5, yellow 6, and red 40. Diet Sundrop soda is also a culprit containing yellow dyes. States like California, New York, and New Jersey, Missouri have tried to put these dyes on the chopping block because they contain benzidine, a known carcinogen. According to the FDA, ingestions of free benzidine raises the cancer risk to just under the concern threshold or increases the cancer risk. I'm not going to go into statistics. The colors are not banned outright in the EU, nor are they banned in the U.S., but unlike in the U.S., European authorities must include warning labels that details the risk associated with the dyes. They have also been theorized to exacerbate intentional problems in children, including ADD and ADHD, leading EU regulators to mandate that product makers say dyes can cause adverse effects on activity and activity attention in children. And those who love Twinkies and cereals like Captain Crunch will tell to take a dose of yellow 5 and yellow 6. So I'm going to post this article with you guys because there's a lot of stuff in here that I don't have time to cover today, but it's talking about mortality, cancer, gastrointestinal health, mental health, respiratory health, cardiovascular disease, and metabolic health, all based on these junk foods and compounds, including the nitrites. And, you know, I've known so many people that have ended up with, you know, intestinal problems and stomach problems, all kinds of health issues because of eating this type of food all of the time. So you have to ask yourself a question. And we always ask these three questions. I've taught you guys to do this years ago. What am I doing? Okay, am I eating stuff like this? And it can be with who you're hanging out with, too, or the behavioral patterns or the lifestyle choices you've chosen. Whatever you want to do, ask yourself a question before you do anything. What am I doing? Number two, what's it doing to me? And number three, is that okay? If you're eating foods that are massively increasing your risk of heart disease, diabetes, and cancer, which we've talked about this entire broadcast today, if you're eating foods that are unbelievably chemically laden with compounds that are unbelievably healthy for you, what's it doing to you? Well, it's going to increase your risk of heart disease, diabetes, and cancer, period. This is what it's going to do. I give you the statistics today. And here's the problem I've got with that. A lot of people who have health issues, you know, knew in advance that these health issues could be exacerbated or having problems, like the man who ate two giant pizzas every single day. He knew the issues were there. And that's why the Bible says the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy through the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not saying I can't go out and enjoy a good meal like I had with that yellowfin snapper the other day. I mean, that was delicious food. Not much to it, but it was really good food. The point is, if you eat the right foods and the right combinations, you're going to have a really good health outcome. I know that a lot of people, I know they start falling apart when they're in their 30s and the 40s. They start taking all types of drugs, prescription drugs for, you know, for depression, prescription drugs for blood pressure, prescription drugs for diabetes, prescription drugs, which all have compounding side effects. And many of these drugs are taken in concert with other types of drugs that were never tested together with those same drugs, causing even more side effects. And suddenly you get a person in their 40s and 50s and their 60s that's a health wreck. And you can't, they can't even walk up a set of stairs. They can't go on a mile walk. They can't do anything. And you think, what happened to them? It wasn't that something horrible happened to them with their last meal. It doesn't work that way. It's something, this is a long-term dietary choice and lifestyle choice they've had all their lives. The Bible says, don't you know that ye yourselves are God's temple and that God's spirit lives within you? And if you destroy God's temple, he will destroy you. Now, what does it mean when it says that? It means that certain behavioral patterns are going to kill you. And that God warns you in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy and Leviticus, in the Torah. He says, if you want to live long and be blessed, eat these ways, eat these foods, do these things. If you want to basically die with all of these diseases, including eating pork, do these things. And then he says, choose life. He says it this way, choose life or choose death. You choose. And then he gives you the cliff notes, and he says, this is going to keep you alive. This is going to kill you. But why is it? I've got a good friend of mine who listens to the show all the time, and he just loves his pork. He loves his bacon, loves his, you know, ham. And I've asked him so many times, all these health problems, heart problems, issues, all kinds of issues. And I asked him, I said, what's it going to take for you to stop eating pork? I like it. Okay? I can't fix that. There's a certain point in anybody's life where they've got to start choosing what they want to eat, what not to eat. I know my mom had a problem with alcohol. I know I have a brother has a problem with alcohol. I know that genetically I'm predisposed to have that same problem with alcohol, so I choose not to drink it. But very rarely I may have a glass of wine or Bailey's or a glass of, you know, a beer or something like that, but it's rare. So choose the things that you're going to put into your body. Choose them wisely. Choose them well. And remember, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. That this is the day the Lord hath made. We shall rejoice and we shall be glad in it. We don't have to be drugged. We don't have to be on all these different chemicals. We don't have to be on food that's going to poison us. We don't have to do any of this stuff to basically stay healthy. We can eat the way God intended us to eat. I love you guys. I had a good prayer time for you this morning. I appreciate you. I hope you enjoyed the last few shows. God bless you. I love you so much. Keep me posted. Make sure to contact me at AskDrTedV@yahoo.com. I appreciate all of you. Send me an email if you'd like the kind of quality of shows we've been putting out. God bless. Bye.